What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Around the NBA, a podcast where I get my thoughts on the latest news, transactions, teams, and players across the league. But before I get into the episode, man, I wanted to give a quick shout out to several people for something that happened this past weekend. I know I don't share my life, my personal life, with you guys all like that. I like to keep it strictly basketball and any other little things I want to talk about, but I feel like this is a pretty big life event that's about to occur. And I don't recall if I've ever shared anything with you guys. So my wife and I are expecting our first child next month. Yeah. it's happening really soon. It's just around the corner. And this past weekend, we had the baby shower. So I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody who showed up to the event, everybody who helped set up the event, helped my wife plan the event. Thank you. It was an amazing time. It was an amazing day celebrating the life to come, which is my daughter. So thank you guys so much. My wife's friends, thank you. They really helped set up for the event the day of, and just anything, you know, everything leading up to it, helping her plan and any last minute things. Like, they killed it. They did an amazing job. My wife's family, thank you so much for your part and helping support and contribute to this event. My family for traveling from Chicago to where my wife and I live to make the event, thank you. And a special shout out to my wife, man. She really put a ton of work and effort into this, and it really showed, and it was an amazing time, and it was an amazing day, an amazing event. So thank you. I love you. And just thank you to everybody, man, who just helped contribute to that day. If you gave us a gift, showed up, anything and everything that you did, as big, as little, as it may have been, thank you. So there you guys have it. My wife and I expecting our first child. I am a little nervous, but I am really excited for it, man. You know, I don't know what to expect in parenthood, but I'm looking forward to it. So just wanted to open up the show with that, give you guys a little bit of insight of what's been happening in my personal life, because I know I don't talk about it so much. But yeah, man, once the baby's here, I'll let you guys all know. But really, really excited for that. And it was an amazing time this past weekend. So again, just shout out to everybody that was there, that helped, and a special shout out to my wife, my baby mama. And with that, let's get into the show, man. So the first topic of this episode is, of course, the NBA trade deadline. I'm going to get to the big one in a little bit, the big blockbuster trade that occurred. But there was other trades that really got me thinking and really got me questioning some things, and as far as what the organization was thinking and as far as what is the future looking like for certain players. But overall, I thought this was a pretty good trade deadline, and I'm really glad I held off on recording this episode until today, which was the last day of the deadline, so I could discuss some of these trades. I think the biggest one, to be honest, was the CJ McCollum one to New Orleans. And the reason being is because now I'm wondering what the future of Damian Lillard in Portland's going to look like. You know, there's been reports that they're going to decide to build around Dame, and they cleared up some cap space and to acquire a big fish in free agency or via trade. But I just don't see anybody wanting to go play in Portland. You know, I don't see a big free agent deciding, like, yeah, I'm going to go play in Portland. Like, I understand Damian Lillard's there, but, you know, that's not a very attractive market. So I just don't see that maybe planning out the way they envision it. But I don't know. Anything can happen. You know, I really hope they do get somebody for Damian Lillard and really compete for a championship, because I would hate for his career to go to waste like that. Otherwise, they might just end up trading him, you know, for his own sake. You know, if I'm Dame, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, I think if I'm Dame, I give Portland this offseason to try to give me a piece to win a championship, because otherwise I'm not going to waste another year in Portland. Like, I get like the whole loyalty thing and what have you, but at the end of the day, like, what's more important? You know, I think winning is important. You know, I'm not saying sell yourself out and do what other players have done in the past, but there's nothing wrong with requesting a trade to a better situation. You know, I think he doesn't owe Portland any more than what he's already given them. So if I'm Damian Lillard, I give them at least a summer to see what they can do with what they've acquired, and the cap space that they have freed up, and give them a summer. But if they don't bring in the pieces he needs to win, if I'm Dame, I'm leaving. Like, I'm requesting a trade, and I'm getting out of there as soon as possible. As far as New Orleans, I think that was a solid trade to acquire CJ McCollum. If I'm CJ, I don't hate the situation. I don't love it. I think he could have gone to a better situation. The reason why is because of Zion and his health. I know he's still young, and I don't want to, you know, press the emergency button just yet, or the panic button, rather, on his career. But it's not looking too good as of right now. But if Zion comes back healthy next season, because it seems like he's going to miss the entire season for this year, but if he comes back healthy and they have CJ McCollum now and Brandon Ingram, I think that's a solid trio. I don't see them making any real noise. I think they're maybe a couple pieces away from actually making some real noise in the playoffs. But they're definitely a playoff team, somewhere between the six and, you know, play-in team, like a six seed and a play-in team, if they're fully healthy. So I don't think that's a terrible situation for CJ. It's just not the greatest situation for him. So really interesting to see what Portland does with what they acquired and the cap space that they freed up. And really interesting to see how CJ plays out in Portland or in New Orleans and what that situation looks like moving forward. The real head scratcher for me, though, was the trade of Tyler Haliburton for Sabonis. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate the acquisition of Sabonis. I think Sabonis is probably one of the most underrated players in the league. And I think he definitely needed to change his scenery. I just don't know if his scenery got better going from Indiana to Sacramento. And if I'm the Kings, I don't know why I get rid of Haliburton. Like, they do have a ton of guards there between Fox, Haliburton, and Davion Mitchell. So I understand that they probably had to get rid of one of them. But I just hate seeing them let go of Haliburton because he's a stud. Now, for Indiana, they acquired a great piece for the future. So I'm not mad at them for trading Sabonis for Haliburton. But the Kings, man, I don't hate the acquisition of Sabonis. But I just don't think, you know, he's going to turn that franchise around with De'Aaron Fox. You know, it's a solid piece to match him up together. But they need a lot more pieces around them. And they also got rid of Buddy Hield. So I think Indiana did a nice trade there to get Haliburton and Buddy Hield in exchange for Sabonis. And I know they were trying to shop Miles Turner. They ended up keeping him. So I think Indiana's got a solid core right there with Buddy Hield and Haliburton and Miles Turner. They did let go of LeVert to Cleveland, which is another solid trade for the Cavaliers. You know, they're a top four team in the East, and Caris LeVert might help them. I don't know if it gets them over the hump, but, you know, that definitely elevates their team to potential, you know, from first round to a nice deep playoff run for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They set themselves up nicely. So I'm excited to see what the Cavs look like moving forward with that trade. But yeah, man, the Kings, I don't know. It's too early to judge. I think they played last night. I think they won against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it's a nice start for them with the Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox era. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what that looks like. But as of right now, it's kind of a head scratcher. But, you know, only time will tell. I do like this, the acquisition of Sabonis, though. I just question the trading of Haliburton if I'm Sacramento. But for Indiana, great piece to acquire. And the Kings, again, I like that piece, but for Haliburton, I don't know. But we'll have to see how that looks moving forward. Now, on to the big blockbuster trade that everybody's talking about. Obviously, the Ben Simmons for James Harden trade. And like I discussed in my last episode, I had said if there was a swap for Ben Simmons and James Harden, I think that is an even trade and both teams win. But now that there were different pieces included, my mind has changed a little bit. And the biggest piece to me, honestly, is Seth Curry. Seth Curry is a terrific shooter, and I can't believe Philly let him go. So now that I've seen the pieces that were actually included in this trade, and it wasn't just a swap for swap, I got to say Brooklyn Nets won this trade. They definitely won this trade. They acquired a terrific shooter in Seth Curry. They acquired someone who can clean the glass, which they've been missing, in Andre Drummond. And they acquired a defensive anchor in Ben Simmons. Like, this team just got a whole lot better. A whole lot better. And I see them and Milwaukee battling out in the Eastern Conference Finals if Kyrie Irving is available full-time. Part-time, I think the series is still close, but I'm going Milwaukee. But it's still going to be a very good series. But if Kyrie Irving comes back full-time, which I don't see happening, unless they remove some of those mandates in New York. But if he comes back full-time, this Brooklyn Nets team, I'm calling it now, they're champions. They're champions. Like I said in my last episode, Ben Simmons is more valuable to the Nets than James Harden was because he provides a defensive anchor. He can play make just as well as James Harden. He can pass just as well as James Harden. The only thing they're going to be missing out on is James Harden's scoring abilities. But James Harden's only averaging like 22.5 points, or he was only averaging 22.5 points with them. Ben Simmons can get you 15 to 16 points a game. He can get you the same amount of assists that James Harden was averaging, like 10, over 10. I think he was leading the league in assists. I know it's between him and Chris Paul. And he can get you the rebounds James Harden was getting you. I think Harden's like at 7 or 8 rebounds. Ben Simmons can get you more than that. So Ben Simmons can get you 15 to 16 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Like, he can average a triple-double. Will he get that? Probably not. But I'm expecting him to get maybe like 16-8-8 or 16-9-9, something along those lines. And what you missed out on those 6 points of scoring from James Harden, you're going to get back on defense. And I said this in my last episode, or maybe it was a TikTok I made. What other team in this league has a similar style of player paired up with 2 prolific scorers? I think Ben Simmons alongside Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant is going to flourish because they have the ability to hide his scoring inabilities. Like, we all know Ben Simmons can't shoot, but he's not going to have to shoot. He's not going to have to score like he did in Philly. Like, with just Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, like, a lot of that offensive package or a lot of that offensive weight was on Ben Simmons' shoulders. Like, they had to rely on him being able to score a little bit. Like, especially if Joel wasn't there, like, he had to step up in his scoring abilities. In Brooklyn, he's not going to have to do that as much. Maybe right now, because Kyrie's a part-time player and Kevin Durant is out, he might have to step up and do his thing and score more. But when they're on the court together, all 3 of them, he's not going to have to worry about that. He's going to have to go out and do what he does best. I was going to say blessed. He's going to bless them with what he does best. And that's passing and playmaking and rebound and defend. So as of right now, the Brooklyn Nets just got a whole lot better. Seth Curry, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, KD, and LaMarcus Aldridge or Andre Drummond. It's a solid starting lineup. It's a solid starting lineup. So I think Brooklyn did a great job in this trade. Obviously, James Harden didn't want to be there anymore. And they got some really valuable pieces back. So I really like this trade from Brooklyn. I think they got the 3 pieces that they needed to get over the hump. But the biggest question mark for them is, will Kyrie Irving continue to be a part-time, or is he going to be a full-time player? Now, on the flip side of that, I do think Philly getting James Harden is a nice acquisition. I'm not going to lie. Like, pairing him up with Joel Embiid is really nice. There is a duo that I wish I could see, or I've been saying, man, I think this duo would be terrific together, and that's Luka and Joel Embiid. But you're going to get something very similar in James Harden and Joel Embiid. I think this duo might be the best duo in the league. They might be the best duo in the NBA right now. But can they make some real noise in the playoffs? Like, I know everybody's saying, or some of the things I've been saying, well, look at where Philly's currently at without Ben Simmons. They were doing this without Ben Simmons. They had Seth Curry. And I cannot stress this enough. I know Seth Curry he isn't James Harden level. Like, I understand that. Like, he isn't in a Kyrie level. Like, I get that. He's not on his brother's level. I understand that. But this man's a terrific shooter. A terrific shooter, and they're gonna miss that piece. He was a valuable piece to that team. James Harden is gonna come in. I expect him to no longer be as passive as he was in Brooklyn. Like, I think his scoring is going to jump from 22.5 to maybe 25, 26. Maybe it might not reflect that at the end of the season because he's been playing in Brooklyn. That's what he's been averaging up until this point. But moving forward, he's probably going to be averaging anywhere between 25, 26 points per game. And what I mean, like, it may not reflect, like, at the total at the end of the season, like, it might not show 25, 26 points per game. But from here on out, I expect him to be averaging anywhere between 25 and 27 points per game. So, don't get me wrong. Like, Philly's going to be dangerous. They're going to have the best duo, I believe, in the league. But them losing Seth Curry, I don't like it. I don't like it. He's a terrific shooter, and you need someone like Seth Curry on your team. And I think he's been... he's for sure one of the most efficient shooters in the league right now. And I think he's averaging maybe 15, 16 points per game, which is a lot. It's a lot. So, Philly, I wish you didn't trade away Seth Curry. And at the end of the day, I think Brooklyn won this trade. And I think Philly kind of low-key got robbed in this trade. I think they did because they gave up Seth Curry in that. And not only that, but they gave valuable pieces to Brooklyn, pieces that they needed: a rebounder and Andre Drummond, a defender, a defensive anchor, Ben Simmons, and a scorer, a shooter, and Seth Curry. So, like, they helped Brooklyn become a championship contender more so than they already were. So that's why I think Philly lost this trade as compared to Brooklyn. I think they won at the end of the day. Like, they gained a huge piece in James Harden. But compared to Brooklyn, I think they lost this trade. I think they lost this trade. So we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out. But I'm really excited to see this duo of James Harden and Joel Embiid. But for now, who won this trade? It's got to be Brooklyn. It's got to be Brooklyn. Now, moving on to my next topic of discussion. It's about two teams. And it's based off this game that occurred this week, and it was really good for one team and really bad for the other. And that is the Milwaukee Bucks and the LA Lakers. They played earlier this week. I believe it was Tuesday night, and this game got ugly real fast. And I just don't understand, like, after watching this game, and then the Lakers go on to lose last night against the Portland Trail Blazers, how did they not make a trade at the trade deadline? I don't understand. I don't get it. I get that they have nobody to trade other than Russ, but if this is the team they're going to try to stick with for the rest of the season, this team is a first-round exit. And that is being very generous, because they may not even make the playoffs. And I'm dead serious. They looked awful. Awful against Milwaukee. They looked terrible. They looked like a very, very bad team. A very bad team. And Milwaukee looked like they're about to repeat as champions. Like, they look like they're on a mission again. They look like they're about to try to prove everybody wrong that last year was no fluke, kind of how Phoenix is doing this season. And showing that last year's championship was no fluke, and then they deserved that championship, and they're looking like they're going to repeat. It was a tale of two stories, or two teams. Like, it was one team had everything going right for them, and the other team just looked awful. And that team was at home. They had home court advantage, and they just looked terrible. Like, they looked like they couldn't come, they were nowhere near the level Milwaukee's at. Like, not even close. Not even close. And as someone who doesn't like the Lakers in general, I love to see it. I love to see it. I'm not even kidding. Watching that game was music to my ears. I enjoyed every last second of it. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it has nothing to do with not liking LeBron or Anthony Davis or Russ. I just don't like the Lakers. I just don't like the Lakers. I'm sorry. And watching that game was amazing. I loved it. I loved every single second of it. Let's start off with Milwaukee. Okay. Milwaukee was phenomenal. They were almost flawless in this game. Giannis had like 44 points, 14 boards, 13, 14 boards, and like 8 assists. He was unbelievable. I think he made like 10 out of 10 shots in the first half, or maybe in the first quarter. No, it was definitely the first half. Like, he just balled out. He was unbelievable. Chris Middleton wasn't super efficient, but if you watch the game, like, he was feeling it. Like, he was hitting his shot. Like, he had a couple, you know, he would do his little 1-2 dribble move, fade from three, and, like, he was hitting his shot. Drew Holiday did his thing. Like, Drew Holiday was doing his thing. Offensively, he had 15 points and 10 assists. And defensively, this guy, man, on defense, this guy's a stud. Like, he switched on on everybody. Switched on Anthony Davis. He switched on LeBron James. He switched on Russell Westbrook. And he did his thing on all of them. Like, Anthony Davis couldn't, as crazy as this sounds, Anthony Davis, he could not post up Drew Holiday. Like, Drew Holiday stood his ground. And when I saw that, I'm like, are you serious? Like, I get Drew Holiday is a terrific defender, but Anthony Davis, come on, man. Come on. That cannot happen. But sticking with Milwaukee, Drew Holiday did his thing. Bobby Portis, man. Bobby Portis was hitting his three. He had, like, he was the third leading scorer behind Giannis and LeBron. He had, like, 23 points. He was hitting his three. He shot, like, 5 for 9 from three. This man was lights out from three. I had no idea Bobby Portis shot like that. He was shooting lights out. Pat Connaughton and Dante DiVincenzo, who they just traded, which I didn't like that trade for Milwaukee. They did acquire Serge Ibaka, but Dante is a nice, solid piece. They were hitting their threes in the second and third quarter that helped extend their lead to 30 points. Like, and he's a solid defender. So Milwaukee just had it going, man. They were just rolling. They were playing lights out. Grayson Allen, who I don't like after what he did to Caruso, I can see why they acquired him. He was a solid. He had like 12 points. He was hitting his floater. He had a couple threes. Just everybody was just feeling it. They didn't even have Brook Lopez, who I think is a valuable piece of that team. They just look like a team that is looking to repeat. And I believe they've won 8 out of their last 10 now after that game. Milwaukee looked terrific. Like I just said, I believe they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think they're going to face Brooklyn. Considering, well, we have to see what happens with Kevin Durant and his knee injury and Kyrie Irving. But I think Eastern Conference Finals is going to be Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And if Brooklyn only has Kyrie part-time, Milwaukee's going back to the finals. They just look like a team that's poised to win. They look like the defending champions, and they look like they're going to repeat once again. And I'm here for it, man. I love Giannis. I love what they're doing in Milwaukee. Wouldn't even be mad if they repeated, but man, they just looked unreal that game. If you watch that game, it was beautiful basketball. They had terrific motion. They had terrific ball movement. Everybody was involved. Giannis did his thing, 44, 13, 14, and 8. Like, it was a perfect game. It was terrific. So, Milwaukee, I see them as a team looking to repeat, and they may just pull it off. Now on to the other side, the Lakers. And man, oh man, have I been waiting for this, because I'm about to trash this team. Like, this was, I haven't seen the Lakers, like, I'd seen their games throughout the season, but this was the first time I've seen them, like, whole, like, complete, with Russ, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. Carmelo didn't play, but, I mean, it's Carmelo, you know. I don't consider him, like, he's a decent bench player, but they should definitely still win with their big three. So this was the first time I've seen them all season long with their big three. And they looked god-awful. Just terrible. Terrible. They have no offense. They don't run anything. They're relying on either LeBron or Russ creating some sort of play, just some sort of playmaking. Like, give them the ball. Everybody get out the way. Let them do their thing and try to create something. Anthony Davis, he had like 22, 21 points or something. I think he was the fourth leading scorer. They didn't involve him nearly enough. Although I'll give credit to Milwaukee because they did a terrific job on him defensively. But they got to get him more involved. I don't know what they were doing that game. I don't know if it was strictly the Milwaukee Bucks defense, because I know up until that point, like, he was averaging, they said in the game, like, he was averaging like 26 points and like 12 boards. He was having a terrific few games since he came back from injury and yada, yada, yada. And he was a no-show this game. Like, he was non-existent. Their defense just completely shut him out. Like I said, there was times where Jrue Holiday was on him defensively and Anthony Davis couldn't do anything on him. And I, like I said, I understand Jrue Holiday is a very good defender, but that cannot happen if you're Anthony Davis. That just cannot happen. There was no flow to their offense. A lot of their possessions were swing, 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 but the ball went nowhere. It was just swing out in the perimeter, at the top of the key, and someone trying to make a play. You know, Malik Monk, couple dribble moves, step back three, didn't go in. They have no flow to their offense. Defensively, they were terrible. They looked like Swiss cheese. Like, Milwaukee was doing everything and anything they wanted against them. Anthony Davis, they want no piece, no part of Giannis in that game. He wasn't defending him. No one was defending Giannis. No one was defending. They had Stanley Johnson on him sometimes. They had Trevor Ariza on him sometimes. Those guys aren't good enough to stop Giannis. Like, what are you doing? Anthony Davis, get on Giannis. LeBron James, I understand. I understand you're a little older. Get on Giannis. Like, I understand it's a regular season game, but if there's some point in that game, you have to decide, I'm going to guard him, at least for a little bit. Neither of them did. Not for a little bit, not for a stretch at all. Neither of them wanted a piece of Giannis. It was just bad. Russ was terrible. He had a couple open shots, missed them, bad plays, bad turnovers. And it wasn't just him. Anthony Davis had bonehead plays too. And it just as a whole, they just weren't very good. They just looked terrible, out of sync. It was just bad, just a bad game. And I understand teams have bad games, but when you're the Lakers and you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that can't happen. And I just don't recall ever really seeing a LeBron James-led team have a bad game like that. And I'm sure it's happened. You know, I'm not going to say, like, that's never happened. But it just, when you're going up against a team like Milwaukee, that's when you expect these teams to step up and play at a higher level. And it just seemed and it just looked like they wanted no part of Milwaukee. They wanted no part of Giannis. And Milwaukee saw that. And they smelled blood. And that's why they dominated the way they did. Because they could tell LA did not want anything to do with them. Anything to do with them. And it showed. And it reflected on the scoreboard. They were down 30 at one point. It was just a bad, awful game for LA. And not just this game. They just lost to Portland last night with no Damian Lillard. They were getting torched by Anthony Simmons. Anthony Simmons took it to them. They didn't have Russ, so you can't sit here and say it was Russ's fault. Like, no, they just, again, had another bad game. And after those two games, after Milwaukee and after Portland, I'm like, all right, LA's got to make a trade. Right? The trade down line's today. They're definitely going to make something happen, right? Like, they got to. And it just blows my mind that they didn't. It just blows my mind that they're just going to stick with the same team for the rest of the season. It's just crazy to me. It's just kind of crazy. And I can totally see them not making the playoffs. And if they do, I can totally see them losing in the first round. Like, they're not good enough to beat Golden State. They're not good enough to beat Phoenix. They're not good enough to beat maybe even Memphis. I think Memphis matches up really well with them. I don't think they're good enough to beat Memphis. Jazz, maybe, just because we've seen the Jazz kind of crumble. But if they're anywhere in the bottom three seeds and Memphis finishes top three, they're not beating any of those three teams. They're just not. So I'm just shocked that they didn't decide to pull the trigger on a trade here in this trade deadline, and they're going to stick with this team for the rest of the season, because this team, as far as they go, is the first round, in my opinion. They're not getting past the first round. And that's that. And I don't know what happens this offseason, but this may be the beginning of the end for LeBron James. All right, so seeing how the trade deadline just happened, I wanted to do this tier list. I've been wanting to do one of these for a while. I just didn't really know how to go about it, integrate it or whatever. But I figured it out. And seeing how the trade deadline just happened, I wanted to do a tier list based off how the teams look like now that the trade deadline has passed. So some teams look a little differently. How would this impact them moving forward? So let's see how this goes. All right. So first team is, I know the screen's a little small here, but I think it's big enough for you guys to really see. So First team is the Philadelphia 76ers. So now that they've let go of Ben Simmons, they have James Harden. Where are they as a, compared to the rest of the team? So I have them, I'm going to say, got S tier. I'm going to say they're an A tier. Washington Wizards, they just acquired Porzingis. But, you know, their playoff team, they just let go of Dinwiddie. I don't know if they're a playoff team anymore. But the Wizards, for where they're at right now, I'm going to say they're a... All right, I'm going to do a B team. I'm going to do B. No, I'm going to put them down. I'm going to put them down at C. Atlanta Hawks. I'm going to put them next to... I'm going to put them next to the Wizards. Because I think personnel-wise, I think they're just as good as the Wizards, but the record isn't reflecting on it. Cavaliers. Cavaliers have been playing great. I think they're the fourth seed right now. I'm going to put them... They're a B team right now. Solid team. Pistons, D for sure. Pacers, I'm going to put them D for sure. Milwaukee Bucks, S tier for sure. Toronto Raptors, I'm going to put them here with the C's. This is C tier. Dallas Mavericks. I don't know what they're going to look like with Porzingis, without Porzingis. But for now, I'll put them next to the Cavaliers. I'll put them as a B tier. Denver Nuggets, same thing. B tier. Memphis Grizzlies, A tier. Timberwolves, I think right now they're, what, 7th, 8th, or 7th, 6th seed around there? All right, I'm gonna put them here. San Antonio Spurs. I think they're some sort of playoff contention right now. Don't know where to put them. I hate to do this to them, but I'm gonna put them down here as a D tier. Sorry, San Antonio. As much as I respect and like your organization, but. Utah Jazz, man. I don't know if they're as good as Philly and Memphis, but I'm going to put them up there. Clippers, because of no Paul George and no Kawhi, I'm going to put them as a C tier. Phoenix Suns, S tier. Portland Trail Blazers, they're down here as a D tier. Sacramento Kings, D tier. New York Knicks, I'll put them as a C tier. New Orleans Pelicans, D tier. Hornets, they're not as good as Philly, Memphis, and Utah, so I'll put them as a B tier. Rockets, D tier. Miami, I'll put them alongside with Philly and Memphis. Don't think they're an S tier just yet. Bulls, I think I got to put them up here as an A tier. Brooklyn Nets, S tier after today's trade, for sure. Thunder. Oh, I don't know what I'm thinking. For sure, D tier. Golden State, A tier. Boston Celtics. Boston, I'm putting here as a B tier. I think they've turned it around. They're like 31 and 26 right now, or 32 and 26. They've turned it around. They've had a solid season the last couple of games, or solid games. A lot of solid season. They've turned it around. That's moving there. The Lakers. Sorry, man. I got them as a C tier. It is what it is. They haven't been playing anything better than that. Orlando Magic. D tier. That was my dog. So here you guys have it, man. This is my tiers of teams after the trade deadline. Let me know what you guys think. just some final words, man, to close out the episode. It is Super Bowl Sunday. It is Super Bowl week, and I am a huge football fan. I just haven't really kept up with this season because my team is trash. And it's not the Super Bowl I expected or, you know, foresaw coming. The Bengals, man, huge surprise. But seeing that I am from Ohio, well, I live in Ohio. I'm not from Ohio, but I live in Ohio. I'm definitely rooting for the Bengals, but I do see the Rams winning this game. They're just too stacked offensively and defensively. So yeah, I see them winning this game 27-17. I hope you guys enjoy, man. If you guys are watching, for sure, should be a solid game. Probably not, because the Bengals offensive line is trash and the defensive line of the Rams is really good. So I do see Joe Burrow getting sacked like 10 times. So hopefully he survives this game. He doesn't get hurt, but I do see the Rams winning this game 27-17. And that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe on wherever you're listening from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Make sure you guys follow me on all social media platforms at @AroundTheNBA_podcast. I'm on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And as always, I'll see you guys next time.